And now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords. And Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena, and happy International Women's Day.
Yes, happy International Women's Day. It is, in fact, a UN-designated day to talk about, well, raising awareness when it comes to not just women's rights, but equity, things like that. I mean, we talk about fertility rates daily. And this is perhaps where we should begin.
It's also a day to celebrate people like you.
Thanks. People like me. Wonderful, exciting, lovely, intelligent. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's get started. We are going to start out with the latest on the ongoing medical strike. There has been growing calls for nurses to have an expanded scope of their work. To what extent is, of course, a big question. Our first keyword of the day.
Nurses utilized.
As the strikes by training doctors continues, the government is implementing measures to deal with the medical vacuum. Can you run us through what they are?
Right. So first, the government will spend almost 200 billion won from the state health insurance fund for a month, as it stands at the moment. The provision of the funds will start on Monday. The same amount will be spent in the following month if the medical crisis continues. Now, the funds will be used to maintain the treatment system for severe patients, actively reward institutions that provide care still, and increase compensation for redirecting mild patients to lower level hospitals. Now, despite these efforts, there is some criticism that using health insurance funds in this way may not be appropriate, with some arguing that it's wrong to compensate private major hospitals' revenue losses with public health insurance money. So it's not without some sort of scrutiny. Now, additionally, there are plans to expand the roles of nurses, allowing them to perform certain emergency procedures such as CPR and administer medication for emergency patients, something that would have been illegal otherwise. Now, this has led to criticism from medical associations warning that it might legalize illegal medical practices and cause chaos and danger to patient safety in the medical field. So basically, doctors saying that nurses aren't quite trained yet to fulfill that role. Now, also, the health ministry noted that it is speeding up efforts to take administrative action against those who defied the government's return to work orders. So still maintaining that hardline stance and accelerating those efforts to get possible license suspensions for the people who haven't returned to work yet.
A three-month medical license suspension. That's the latest on the medical strikes. Let's move on to our second keyword of the day.
Incheon Hub.
So President Yoon has vowed to expand facilities and infrastructure in Incheon to boost the aviation and shipping industries and make the city a global mega hub. There are many perks in the works. Oh, perks in the works. Okay.
Very nice.
No, I'm not very proud of that. But I mean, this excited me. The possibility of opening up the GTXB railway line by 2030. That's just around the corner. That would make Seoul Incheon commute within 30 minutes.
Yeah, so if you're living in Incheon, commuting to work in Seoul or the other way around, of course, it'll be great news for those people. Now, Yoon was speaking at a public debate at Incheon City Hall. He vowed to significantly grow Korea's aviation industry, for starters, centering around Incheon Airport. Yoon highlighted the fourth phase of construction work at the airport, which will expand the second passenger terminal and add a fourth runway, and that will be completed in October, so not that long left. Now, this expansion will make it one of the top three airports globally, capable of handling 100 million passengers a year. Additionally, Yoon plans to create a high-tech aviation complex near Incheon Airport by 2026, which is expected to generate significant economic benefits over the next decade and include more jobs as well related to it. Now, regarding the merger between Korean Air and Asiana Airlines, he promised it would create good outcomes and ensured that the government would manage to prevent any negative effects on airline mileage or service quality due to a monopoly. Now, for the ports, Yoon aims to transform Incheon Port into what he calls a world-class trading port by fully automating its terminals by 2027. It will use tech such as AI and self-driving cars to transport cargo. Now, the government plans to speed up the development of a site behind the Incheonport International Passenger Terminal to begin what's being dubbed the Incheon Golden Harbor Project. Now, this will build a tourism complex comprising hotels, condos, a shopping mall, even a water park, and cruises as well. Yoon also committed to assisting with urban renewal projects in old downtown areas with a 2.4 trillion won investment by 2027 and plans to fast-track the rebuilding of aging cities. And lastly, Yoon also promised that the GTX-B Expresswell Railway Line, which will connect Incheon to Namyangju, will open by 2030. He attended the groundbreaking ceremony for the railway line held at Songdo Conventia in Incheon, and he highlighted that GTX-B line would lower the travel time between Incheon and Seoul's downtown area to just under 30 minutes. So especially if you live in Seoul's Yeouido, for example, apparently it'll take just a couple of minutes over 20 minutes. So I think it was 22 or 23 minutes and Seoul Station by 29 minutes. So, yeah, so if that is your commuting route, then, of course, it'll be welcoming news.
I mean, we're hearing of not just public sector infrastructure, but private sector, too. I mean, there's this new arena in Incheon built, I believe, last year, unveiled for the first time for K-pop concerts and such. Maroon 5 is performing there today. And these are really exciting, I guess, projects in line with the government's plan, clearly, to spruce up Incheon.
Yeah, I forgot that Maroon 5 was in Korea, actually.
They're here.
I was trying to buy, I heard of the news and I tried to buy tickets, but I just gave up.
Were you too late?
I was too late and there was no chance.
All right. Those are some of the big plans to spruce up Incheon City. Let's move on to our third keyword of the day.
Denuclearization policy.
So the foreign ministry has announced strengthened policies to deal with North Korea's nuclear issue, vowing for a future Korean Peninsula based on freedom, human rights, and the rule of law. So clearly stipulating what kind of rules a country might be governed by. South Korea wants to play it, of course, by our rules. Tell us the details.
Right. So the ministry plans to create a strategic environment to induce North Korea's denuclearization under the so-called BOLD initiative, a roadmap for dealing with the North. Now, this involves a comprehensive approach to denuclearization, firmly backed by South Korea, US, and South Korea, US, Japan cooperation. It also aims to foster constructive roles for China and Russia in achieving North Korean denuclearization. Furthermore, the ministry intends to promote human rights in the North, protect defectors abroad through international cooperation, and strengthen efforts to cut off funding for the regime's nuclear and missile development. It'll also accelerate the implementation of the Washington Declaration to continue developing the South Korea-US alliance. Now, in terms of relations with Japan, South Korea seeks a future-oriented relationship while responding firmly to any unjust provocations regarding historical issues and territorial disputes, Tokto namely. Now, it also plans to make the Seoul-Washington-Tokyo summit an annual event to solidify cooperation among the three countries. The ministry also unveiled plans to restructure the office responsible for negotiations on North Korean nuclear issues and create a broader strategy department focused on foreign policy intelligence gathering. Now, the tentatively named Office of Strategy and Intelligence will replace the Office of Korean Peninsula Peace and Security Affairs with three new units to be set up under its wing, namely the Diplomatic Strategy, Intelligence, and International Security. This will be kind of the first big change of that relevant office in 18 years.
All right, and turn your attention to our next keyword. We talked about it yesterday. Prices of fruits so expensive that it's actually troubling our inflation rates. Our fourth keyword of the day.
Fruitflation.
I guess that's really a redundant introduction, isn't it? Because if you think about it, inflation is literally a hiking of prices. Since the start of the year, noticeably fruit prices have soared, pushing up the cost of living in what's being dubbed the fruitflation, a mix of fruit and inflation. However, the government has announced there are no current plans to relax restrictions on importing apples and pears due to pest concerns. So there was a plan, and then they scrapped it. What's the latest?
Yeah, so Statistics Korea data shows food prices alone contributed 0.57 percentage points to last month's consumer price index, which rose, as we mentioned yesterday, 3.1% compared to the previous year. This means that a big chunk of the price rise we're seeing is because of fruit. Now, normally, fruit doesn't affect overall prices this much, so it's a bit unusual that it is contributing to the increase by this scale. Now, the price increases for meat and fish are actually much smaller in comparison. Not to say that they're cheap, but, you know, not relatively speaking, as expensive as the price increase of fruit. Now, apples, for instance, saw their prices jump by a whopping 71% in February compared to last year, mainly due to bad weather affecting their production. Prices for oranges rose by just over 78% and pears by 61.1%. Overall, fresh fruit prices went up by just over 41% compared to last year, marking the steepest rise in over 32 years. Now, the government hopes to hit its inflation target of 2.6% for the year, but of course, fruit prices do pose a challenge. Now, due to health and safety restrictions and concerns, it's tough to boost supply through imports, especially with last year's poor harvest. So, of course, the concerns of pests is what the government is saying is of concern. The agriculture minister, Song Min-young, explained that disasters like cold snaps and heavy rains cut down the production of apples and pears by about 30%, driving up their prices. Now, with new fruits typically hitting the market around July or August, high prices are expected to kind of stick around until then. Of course, they're going to be expensive for the Chuseok holiday coming up this year as well. Song expressed skepticism about the effectiveness of importing apples to stabilize prices as well. She noted that ongoing negotiations with 11 countries at the moment to allow apple imports involve a lengthy 8-step process, with Japan currently in the 5th step. And she mentioned that it took well over a year for the exports of Korea fruits to New Zealand. So, you know, trade negotiations aren't swift and they do take a long time. So, yeah, so any plans to kind of resolve the price increases in the short term through imports is not the most effective in terms of the government's eyes. Now, the government plans to expand discounts for fruits and increase the supply of irregularly shaped fruits as well to stabilize supply. Now, it will also monitor the supply and consumer price trends of various products and the progress of inflation stabilization measures on a daily basis.
I remember there was a brief moment where they tried to encourage more banana consumption, for example, but it turns out importing exotic fruits, that's also very complex. So expanding on that, so that's not a short-term plan. I can't remember the last time we paid such close attention to the supply chain.
Right, exactly. I mean, just not just fruits, but everything's getting expensive. But, you know, considering that grocery shopping should be cheaper compared to, you know, dining out, for example, it's kind of become similar at a similar level now. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of Korean people consume a lot of fruits and, yeah, high demand for it. But, of course, the prices aren't really helping with that.
I mean, that's what the health experts tell us, right? Eat more fruits and vegetables. Yeah. So it's not a bad habit.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away, is what they say, isn't it? So, yeah, especially with those apple prices being high, maybe we'll have to see the doctor. But then, doctors are on strike. So, yeah.
And we've circled back to the beginning of our conversation. And I think we're spiraling. So how about we go back to our keyword news portion, our final keyword of the day.
No glass ceiling.
So as we mentioned, today is the UN-designated International Women's Day. So how appropriate is it that we take a look at the glass ceiling? For 12 years in a row, not such promising news. South Korea has been ranked as the most challenging country for working women among 29 developed nations. This finding comes from the Glass Ceiling Index published by The Economist Daily a day before today, the International Women's Day. Can you tell us the details of the report?
Right. So the Glass Ceiling Index basically looks at different factors like how many women work, for starters, the differences in education and income between men and women, how many women are in top jobs or the management level higher up jobs. The cost and availability of childcare and parental leave policies in OECD nations. Now, Iceland held onto the top spot for the second consecutive year, followed closely by other Nordic countries like Sweden, Norway, and Finland, which are known for their supportive environments for working women. The rankings also show that countries like France, Portugal, Poland, Belgium, Denmark, and Australia made it into the top 10. Now, Korea's consistently low rankings reflects its wide gender income gap, low female labor participation rate, and low proportions of women in managerial positions and on corporate boards, all of which are among the lowest in the OECD. Now, while the average proportion of women in management roles across the OECD has slightly increased, Korea and Japan remain disappointingly low. Now, similarly, while the average proportion of female corporate directors in the OECD stands at 33%, Korea lags behind with only 12.8%. Now, however, Korea did do well in one area, that was paternity leave. Now, Korean dads, for example, can take 22.1 weeks off, which is the second longest after Japan. For mums, the paid maternity leave is 30.6 weeks, ranking 12th among the countries. So still not quite in the top 10, but better in terms of paternity leave, something that has improved over recent years as well with government measures to try and tackle the low birth rate and fertility rate and marriage issue. Overall, the glass ceiling is still very low in Korea.
We're talking readjusting, not just work culture, but work environment. It probably doesn't happen overnight. But I mean, it is slightly promising news that there is more room for paternity leaves, a culture to encourage that, to allow that, right? And also for moms to be working moms. But it seems that we have still a long way to go. Don't I feel it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a kind of a cultural issue as well. And other people are saying that Korea's economic development was too quick to handle the kind of cultural and social development as well. It was just the economy that rose rather than the cultural and social aspects. Yeah, it's a very difficult issue to tackle.
There is one promising news that I saw on the cover of Hanguk Gyeongja this morning. There's one construction firm in Japan where apparently the fertility rate amongst the women workers there is 2.5, which is arguably really high for Japan's average. And they looked at what's different, what's going right. And one thing is definitely the encouragement of paternity leaves and the flexibility, the ability to leave work early on select days. Yeah. So we're talking about uprooting work culture and making it somehow better.
Whether that could be applied to Korea remains to be seen, I guess.
apples to oranges.
Yes,
apparently unaffordable. Thanks, Adam.
You're very welcome. Have a great weekend. I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.